It's a trap!
Hello and welcome to episode number 142 of Radio TCX,
your weekly source for X-Wing news and strategy.
I'm Tim Dugan.
And I'm Carson Ray. We are glad to be back in the studio after our week off, spending time with family.
Yeah, we're hoping you all had a nice Thanksgiving break here, take some time off, maybe from X-Wing, but now we got to get back into it. We've got a huge tournament season that's already rolling now, a lot more premier events coming up in the future. So today we wanted to bring you some of the tips we've learned over the years that can help you out going into these large premier level events.
All right, Tim, we have the System Open Series has just begun, quite a bit of lineup for events all around the U.S. and around the world. We already had the first System Open finish this past weekend in Europe. And really, this looks like the beginning of the first premier tournament season for X-Wing 2nd Edition. And it's pretty exciting. And so we've done an episode kind of like this before, I think a year or so ago. But, you know, since then, a lot of new players have joined the game. And I think, you know, we've learned a few more tips along the way. So I thought it was a good idea for us to revisit this topic.
Yeah, and these tips we're bringing today, we're really focusing in on talking about premier level events. We're talking about these are the official events like System Open Series stuff and Hyperspace Qualifiers, where you're going to see a lot of players. And there's a little bit of a different expectation compared to, you know, your store level tournaments. At these really high-end events, it's nice to know some of these other details. Things are going to be taken a lot more seriously at these events. There's still a lot of fun, but we thought we'd assemble a list here just specific to premier level stuff, so that you guys can, you know, not be caught off guard if you haven't played at a lot of these events, and hopefully they will help you perform better at these events.
Right. I think, you know, the big difference when I think premier level play, I'm thinking, you know, a full day or a full 2 days of X-Wing, you know, playing six rounds of Swiss in a day, and then maybe even playing that cut that same day, which all adds up to a lot of games of X-Wing to play in a day. This really takes a bigger toll than just playing in your, you know, weekly evening league. You know, playing a full day of X-Wing requires a lot more preparation. And so we're going to kind of go through and break down kind of all the little tips we've learned along the way to how to have a successful and enjoyable experience at these big events.
All right, so let's get into it with tip number one.
All right, so the first thing is you need to decide on a list you're flying. Which is, you know, for me, no easy feat. I always am worrying, going back and forth, second-guessing my bid. But, you know, what you really want to be doing is deciding definitely at least a week prior to the event, ideally a month beforehand.
Yeah, because the key here is you want to not be changing things going up to the 11th hour before an event. This is something I've had personal experience with where I got nervous before an event, seeing what the meta would be like. So I made a bunch of last-minute changes. But even if the changes would have been a correct meta call, I was not prepared to use them to their full effect because I wasn't as familiar with the list at that point. So I think it's really important, like you're saying, to make sure you have that list decided at least a week, preferably quite a bit longer than that, before going into even a whole tournament season, so you can get a lot of practice in with that list. Because even if you're not always playing against the top meta list, getting familiar with your own list is the starting point you want to go from, so that you're most prepared for a big event where you can adapt to, you know, a changing meta game, things you're not expecting. If you know your list well, that's going to be a great foundation.
Now, the other aspect of that, though, is, you know, especially when you're traveling, you know, taking time off work, flying, you want to make sure you're giving yourself a solid chance of winning or at least doing well at the tournament. So in my opinion, you know, if I'm putting in that effort and the time to, you know, to travel to a big event, I want to make sure that I bring a list that has a chance of doing well. And it doesn't mean it needs to be, you know, one of the top four meta lists, but, you know, one that I think has a chance of doing well. It might not be the most popular one, but if I've paid attention to the meta, you know, played the list quite a few times and know how it does, and am familiar and happy with the results it gets, then I think that's a fine choice. But I just want to make sure I'm bringing a list that does give me a good chance of winning the event.
Yeah, the list you decide on should be a deliberate choice for the event. You know, obviously, premier level events like this are still a whole lot of fun. I always have a good time. But this is not the place you want to be experimenting around with fun new lists so much. Is you want to bring something that you feel has answers to what you're expecting to see, and also something that you're familiar with and comfortable with playing. So, like you're saying, basically a list that has a solid chance of winning, at least in your perspective.
Now, I think you'll hear people say, oh, don't bring a list that's really hard to fly because you're going to be playing a lot of rounds. And I think that's sort of an X-Wing myth. I think you should bring a list you're familiar and comfortable with. But if you're familiar with a swarm list or a list that really hinges on, you know, careful repositioning and executing of your maneuvers that requires a lot of thought each turn of activation, I think that's still a fine choice as long as you're familiar with it. You know, if you get the reps, then, you know, a lot of the complicated setup becomes a lot more like a muscle memory sort of thing. And it's not as draining as some people would think it would be when you're, you know, playing 6, 7, 8, 9 rounds in a day. It's definitely still taxing, but if that's the list that you think brings you the best chance of being successful at the event, go ahead and bring the swarm. I think you should bring a solid list, but also one that you enjoy playing, because you're going to be playing a lot of games of X-Wing. And if you're not having fun, then I don't think that's the right choice for you.
Yeah, and I agree with that. I think a lot of the fatigue that people experience has less to do with the complexity of their list or the complexity of the games they play, and more with, you know, a lot of other factors that we'll actually get into here in a bit. So, but point one, you know, in summary, basically make sure you pick a list far enough in advance so that you can prepare with it for the tournament, and make sure you're choosing a list that you are comfortable with and you think has a decent chance of winning. Now, tied into this is point number two.
Yeah, and I kind of maybe got into this a little bit with point number one, but point number two is you want to make sure you test your list. So you want to get in plenty of games prior to the event so you're very comfortable with both how your list operates on the table and how it plays against a lot of the other known meta lists.
Yeah, and I think this is actually vitally important, especially being able to get in matches against the top meta lists are at the event. I can remember back at the first System Open I went to, it was right back in first edition, we had a list dominating the field. Half the field basically was the same list, Triple Jump Masters back in the day, if anyone's been playing that long. And this was it was a hard matchup to beat. It was a bunch of new ships, so people weren't as familiar playing against it. And I wasn't actually running this list at the event. I was running a different Rebel list. But in anticipation for the event, I got in a whole lot of reps against this list. So the first couple times I played against it, it crushed me because I wasn't familiar with the interactions, and I didn't see how effective it was until it was on the table. But because I played against this list so many times and got to learn the ins and outs of it and what to expect and what my list could do to counter it, I was actually pretty well prepared for the event, where in the Swiss rounds, I played against that particular archetype 3 times and I beat it all 3 times.
Actually, Tim, looking back at that very same week, Jump Masters came out a week before the first ever System Open, and I really had a blast. Just, oh my gosh, this is a massive problem we need to solve and we have a week to do it. It was a tough challenge, but getting in those reps against that list really paid off. I lost my first 9 games against Jump Masters that week and then started to piece together, you know, how to beat them. Of course, didn't play any of them at the big event, but throughout that competitive season, that list didn't go away. And the time I put into it, learning how to beat them, paid off for the whole time Jump Masters were around. But what was really important was because we were forced to put so much time in the week before the event, I was just so familiar with everything X-Wing because it was such a crunch. And I think that's really important to make sure you're playing that week before the big event so that everything's fresh and familiar. You know, even if you decided on your squad, you know, a few months ahead of time, make sure you get in quite a few games that week before the event. You want to be in full X-Wing mode, not dusting things off.
And to that end, often, you know, when we practice and prepare for an event, we'll be playing games even up to the night before, just so that we go into the tournament warm. You know, if you have a game recently in mind, you're more comfortable going into that first matchup of the day and it's less jarring. Because I think if you go into a tournament cold, then you can make a lot of big mistakes in just that first round.
Absolutely.
And, you know, as a caveat on this test your list point here, point number two, I would also like to say it is okay to, you know, occasionally run whatever the big meta list is to play against a friend, you know. So if you're preparing for a tournament with your playgroup and nobody's currently running, you know, some of the big meta list, take that on yourself. Try flying the list. You'll actually learn a lot about what you might face by actually flying it yourself.
Right. And then the extra note on that is if you are flying a big meta list, make sure you also practice the mirror match, because odds are you might come across that.
All right, so those first two points were a lot of preparation for the event. This next point is preparation, but it's less about the actual playing of the game and more about some of the logistics that are easy to overlook.
Right. I mean, so this point boils down to don't be that guy who's running around 5 minutes before the first match is supposed to start trying to borrow some sort of token or damage deck or maneuver template. Bring extras.
Yeah, this is hugely important. And at a big tournament like this, you're going to be playing with dozens, if not 100 plus players. And it's very easy to lose track of small things. You know, you can keep track of your ships. That's not so hard. Or your dials or your maneuver templates. Those are a little bit bigger. But when it gets down to things like tokens and damage cards, you definitely want to have extras here. If you lose just a handful of focus tokens and you didn't bring any other tokens, sure, you can probably track some down from other players, but that's not desirable. And then your tokens will be mismatched and it'll be harder to track, probably. But if you lose a card in your damage deck, losing a single card invalidates your whole damage deck. And it can be quite the hassle at a tournament to try and track down an extra one.
Right. And luckily, you know, Fantasy Flight's been giving out a lot of promo damage decks. So you can get a backup deck and just, you know, have that in your backpack. It gives you a nice ease of mind to know, oh, I don't have to worry about if I lose a card. I've got a backup damage deck ready. And I keep a little baggie of all the extra tokens, also has all the other random extra control tokens I might need for whatever my opponent's bringing. And so, you know, if a target lock or focus token goes missing, I can easily pull it out. What I see a lot is, you know, people think they have all the tokens, but then they forgot to pack one. It's not that they lost it, but they forgot to pack the cloak token. So just, you know, having a bag that, you know, maybe has one or two of all the possible tokens, and keep that in your backpack as well, really make your tournament experience a lot less stressful.
Yeah, and it doesn't take a lot of space to just bring a couple extras.
No, the tokens are tiny.
And on top of that, too, I would say, you know, before every match and after every match, just count your damage deck. It'll save you a whole lot of trouble. All right, so now on to point number four, which is one that Carson insisted on including, and that brought our list from a nice even 10 up to a prime 11. So Carson, you can cover this one.
At Radio TCX, we go to 11 here. This one is, you know, not really X-Wing specific at all. But, you know, when you're having a full day of competition, you got to take care of yourself and prepare for the long day. Get a good night's sleep and eat a good breakfast. You know, when you're playing at a big X-Wing event, you might not have time for a full lunch. That breakfast might have to get you through all the way to dinner. I always try to eat a big breakfast before the event and then plan on snacking throughout the day. And a good night's sleep also is pretty darn important. I mean, Tim, this last year when we were playing in Nebraska, we were playing well past midnight, I think getting closer to 2 a.m. So making sure you get a good night's sleep the night before, pretty important, especially if you plan on doing well.
Which you should plan on always.
Luckily for the system opens, they break those cuts into the following day, but not every hyperspace qualifier will. Some of them will be trying to do it all in one day. So it's nice to know that ahead of time, but still plan on getting a good night's sleep and eating a nice, good, solid breakfast.
All right, and kind of connected to the eat a good breakfast point, point number five here, snacks and water. All right, so this is actually one... It sounds kind of silly to recommend it, but this is something that helped me out a lot as I got more used to playing at larger events. Because oftentimes these events, even if you have just six rounds of Swiss, these events can run, you know, 8, 9, 10 hours. And that's actually a long time. And you won't necessarily get a lunch break. If you do, it might be a short lunch break. And if your games are running to time, you won't have a lot of time in between matches to go get food or stay hydrated. So I would definitely recommend, with whatever your tournament stuff is, pack a couple granola bars, pack a couple bags of trail mix, and then, you know, bring a water bottle or make sure you have ready access to water, because you're going to want to keep your energy level up there so that you can keep your mind sharp for every game. Because as the day drags on, if you're getting dehydrated, if you're getting hungry, you're not going to be able to focus and play the best X-Wing you can.
Yeah, I remember at the last System Open event, I had my bag full of trail mix, granola bars, I think multiple Gatorades in there. And, you know, I got knocked out, didn't make the cut, but was going around giving everyone snacks, making sure everyone was hydrated. And you'd just be surprised how many people don't think about those things at these events. And it makes a big difference. It's okay if you look like a soccer parent.
Hey, Radio TCX listeners, time for a quick Patreon update. As many of you know, we decided to update our Patreon rewards to coincide with the launch of X-Wing 2nd Edition. I apologize that I still haven't had the Patreon page updated yet. I promise you everything's still in the works there, even if the page isn't quite up to date yet. We will get to that, though, hopefully in the near future. But we are working on getting you new rewards, the first one being a new Radio TCX one-speed template straight. This is going to have all the updated markings for 2nd Edition, so you can do barrel rolls and boosts with it just fine. This reward is currently being created for us right now. We got the order in a couple weeks ago. I'm hoping to receive these tokens within the next week or so. So we'll start being able to mail these tokens out to our patrons looking at the beginning of December. In order to be eligible for this first new prize, you have to have supported Radio TCX for at least 2 full months at the $3 or $4 levels beginning in September. September is when we started tracking the new season of Radio TCX Patreon. So if you became a patron in September or you continued backing us at the $3 or $4 level in September, you will be receiving one of these Radio TCX one-speed templates in the month of December, hopefully just in time for Christmas. If you'd like to be eligible for this prize, you do need to become a supporter of us on Patreon at patreon.com/radiotcx. In order to be eligible for the rewards we'll be doing new rewards every several months here, so it won't just end with that one-speed template. There'll be new rewards down the road. You need to support us at the $3 or $4 levels there. The $3 level is capped out typically. We have a limited number of slots there, but that $4 level is open to anyone who wants to support the show. If you want to support the show at a lower level, we do have also slots for $1 and $2 there, and we're hoping to start offering some cool new raffle prizes to coincide with 2nd Edition here. A huge thank you to everyone who's already supporting us on Patreon and has been for the last several years. Your support is what enables us to make this podcast from week to week, and we are incredibly grateful for your support. All right, now back to the cast.
All right, continuing on to number 6.
All right, so now we've started off with a lot of preparation stuff, a lot of logistics throughout the day. Now we're actually talk about really important factors that'll affect your tournament game. All right, so first off, as you're playing throughout the day, make sure that you're keeping an eye on your tournament score, which is, you know, the number of wins you have, and your margin of victory, or MOV as we call it. These won't necessarily get posted with pairings, but most tournaments that run at the premier level will post them every few rounds, and you want to make sure that your score is being recorded accurately, because you'll eventually reach a point where they can't retroactively correct the scores. So you want to go out throughout today, know how many wins you have, and, you know, you don't have to write down exactly your MOV, but you should have a general knowledge of what your MOV is. A lot of players like to track this for themselves so they can make sure that they have an accurate number at the end of the day, but if you're within the ballpark, you'll be able to know pretty quickly if an error's been made on your tournament score sheet.
Right. And, you know, the big point of this is, you know, the judges and tournament organizers, they're doing the best they can. But, you know, everyone is human. People make mistakes. So if you can catch it early, it usually creates a lot less of a hassle. And of course, you know, be polite and understanding with the judges and tournament organizers. But it's okay to let them know that, you know, you think there might have been a mistake.
Yeah, it's never a bad thing to check for clarification, right? And that actually brings us to point number 7 here, tip number 7. Don't assume, this is something I see a lot of newer players especially, this is something I felt as a new player back in the day, you don't have to assume that every opponent is a rules expert. So you're going to a premier level event, you're going to see a lot of different lists, hopefully. There's going to be a lot of different card interactions and rules interactions with cards. And this can get pretty complicated. And a lot of times you're not going to be able to know in advance every possible interaction that you're going to come to, even with your own list. And there's this thing that happens where oftentimes people will believe that they are familiar with the specific way an interaction works, and your opponent might seem very confident about a way an interaction works, but it's never wrong to ask for clarification from a judge.
Absolutely. And I would actually say this has gotten more relevant now with second edition. Yeah, I find myself making a lot of mistakes where I assumed that that rule interaction hadn't changed from first edition, but, you know, there was a slight subtle difference that, you know, in this corner case means that rule interaction's working differently than I expected. You know, and I'm someone who I would say is pretty confident with my understanding of the game of X-Wing. And even I don't have everything down perfectly. And I think there's a bunch of players in that same position where, you know, they have confidence because they, you know, knew first edition, but the game has changed. The rules are different. And so if, you know, you disagree on the rule interaction, ask a judge. No harm in that.
Definitely. And I think the politeness factor comes in here, too. There's no reason for it to be, you know, a caustic interaction with your opponent. If you're calling a judge, if I feel the need to call a judge, I always let my opponent know first. I say, hey, I just like clarification on this, so I'm going to call a judge, just so they're aware. And then, you know, you don't have to shout it out. Just raise that hand and, you know, confidently say judge just so they can hear you. But it doesn't have to be, you know, an unpleasant interaction with your opponent or with the judge. These things will happen throughout the day, and there's no reason that they can't be resolved quickly.
Oh, absolutely. And, you know, this sort of stuff kind of comes up more at a big event because, you know, you're playing with people from different metas. So you might be playing against ships you or pilot that you've never flown against before. And so, you know, new things will come up that you didn't really plan for. And so you don't have to know every rule. That's what the judges are there for. If you're unsure, just ask them.
Yeah. So point number eight now is going to come to something that will actually affect whether or not you win games. So an important win condition in second edition especially is the threshold value of ships. Now, every ship, regardless of its base size in second edition, once you reach the threshold, which is to deal damage to it at half or beyond half of its combined hull and shield values, will give you half points. So if a ship is worth 30 points and it has 4 hull and no shields, if you deal 2 damage to it, it'll be at threshold, and you'll have earned that 15 points of margin.
Right, so, you know, the scoring of half points throughout the course of the game is going to become pretty important. And so what you want to do is, at that start of the game, go through with your opponent and get their, you know, full ship point values and their half point values. And just write that on a sticky note so that when it comes down to the last 5-10 minutes of the game and you're not sure who's winning, who has the most points at this moment, you don't want to be asking your opponent, oh, are you winning right now or am I?
Yeah, and that's the reason we included this as a point here, is that that can be actually giving away information if you have to ask your opponent what their half point threshold values are midway through the game. Because it is a totally legitimate way to win if you reach an end state with just a few turns left in the round, and you reach a point where when I've got half points on my opponent's ships and that actually gives me more points destroyed than them, then I'm in a win condition. It might be a legitimate option just to play defensively, run away, you know, get those defensive tokens and avoid combat, just because you're going to be able to take it when the game resolves. You know, obviously you're not going to want to slow play, but it's okay to play defensively and, you know, basically avoid combat that's going to cause you to lose more points and then lose the game. If you ask your opponent at a, you know, a late stage in the game what their ships are worth, suddenly you're going to make them aware that you're paying attention to the specific values, and that might give away, you know, some information about what your strategy is going to be in the forthcoming turns.
Right, so it'll just make it a lot easier if you get those values up front so that you can be calculating them in your head throughout the course of the game. You know, with second edition, every ship can score half points, so it becomes a lot more relevant, and you have to do a lot more counting during the game. And, you know, often the games come to, you know, who could hold on to, you know, half points on, you know, just one ship. So really understanding and being aware of the half point thresholds for each ship, you know, how many points, and make sure if, you know, they have things like a hull or shield upgrade, you're keeping that in mind for how many damage points you have to deal before you score half points. And then just, of course, be making sure what the score is at each turn.
All right, so our last 3 points for this list are going to focus a lot on how you interact with people and with the tournament. So point number 9, get to know your opponent. So these X-Wing events, the large-scale ones, are often going to be pulling in players from across the country or across the world. And, you know, X-Wing is a pretty awesome community. There's a lot of positive things going on around here. So I like to, even if I'm not going to have an ongoing conversation with my opponent, get to know their name, learn where they're coming from. It's just nice to get those little details because it kind of adds to the positive nature of our community. And you never know, you might actually run into these people at another event if you're going to play at multiple premier level things throughout the year.
Oh, absolutely. I think this is the most important point out of all these. I mean, sure, we all want to win the event, but I think, you know, the real value of traveling to these events, going outside of your meta, is meeting the new people. You know, originally with X-Wing, I thought just my local meta was great. And then you travel and realize, oh, everyone playing this game is pretty awesome. And I think it's been a great reward, you know, through the years we've been traveling, of just how many people we've met. And, you know, the funny thing is you keep doing this, you see the same people over and over again at events. And it's, you know, fun to reconnect with them. Or, you know, you can be in my case where, you know, you move to a new meta, but you already know a bunch of the players because you met them at other events. So you never really know what life's going to hand you next. So, you know, get to know the people you're with. The reason I play X-Wing over video games is it's face-to-face with a person. I get to have a conversation with someone while I'm playing the game. Met a lot of new and really cool people through X-Wing. So don't be shy. Get to know your opponent. You might not always agree with your opponent, and that kind of brings us to number 10, which, you know, if you do disagree, you know, no reason to get in a dispute. Just say, oh, I disagree. Let's call a judge and see what their opinion is. You know, you don't need to waste time measuring firing arcs and arguing about that. If you think your ship's an arc and your opponent doesn't, just call a judge. That they're there to make that call.
Yeah, and this is a great time where if you want to ensure that you have a, you know, all players have a positive experience at an event, I usually go when there's, the first inkling of a disagreement on a range or a firing arc, which are going to be your most common calls for this reason. The first inkling I get that there's a disagreement, that we have different perspective on it, I call a judge because there is really no point in arguing because you're inevitably going to have to call a judge unless one player concedes, which is, you know, less than likely. So right away, if I hear, I think it's in range 3, no, I think it's outside of range, I will just get, okay, let's just call a judge to get an arbitrator to do it. It doesn't need to be a caustic interaction or unpleasant at all. Just go right away. Okay, I think we should get a judge to clarify this. Hand up, judge.
Right. And I think some players, you know, especially initially at big tournaments, think that, you know, calling a judge sort of breaks the social contract you have with your opponent. Really, it's kind of the opposite. The judge is there to preserve that positive relationship you have with your opponent. So you don't need to be disputing. The judge is the arbitrator there. They're going to make the official call, and then you can move on with your game. The important thing to note, though, with these judge calls is, you know, sometimes it can take a while, especially at a big event. You know, there might not be, you know, enough judges for all the judge calls that happen at a certain round. So you might have to wait a few minutes for the judge to get there. Or, you know, they might need to consult the rule book for whatever obscure reference you're asking them for. So be sure to start a timer on your phone when you call for the judge. And if, you know, it takes a few minutes, just ask the judge for an extension, so that you're not missing out on game time while you wait for whatever dispute or clarification you're asking for to be resolved.
Yeah, and this is definitely one I like to track. You know, if my opponent asks if they can use the restroom, I'm not necessarily going to always call for a time extension, but if it goes on, you know, 4 or 5 minutes, then that's something that can significantly impact a game, and that's not something you can really retroactively track. So I usually just pop the timer out just so I'm aware of how much time has been lost here. And more often than not, this is not going to be an issue. I'm not saying you should time everybody if they leave the table at all to go get a drink of water or anything. But just be aware of it so that if you do need to ask for a time extension, you have a pretty good point of reference for, you know, what you're asking.
Yes, but also bring a water bottle so that you're not leaving the table to get some water. We got games to play here.
All right, so now we're going to get down to our last point here, which is something that really only matters once you get eliminated from a tournament.
Well, that's really the most common example, Tim. And that's, you know, watching other people's games. But this can happen also if you finish your round really quickly. You know, look around and see what the other people are flying, how they're playing. There's really a lot you can learn from watching other people play the game, and trying to imagine what they're thinking, and, you know, being surprised about the decisions they're making. I mean, this obviously comes up the most in a cut. If you didn't make it, well, then you have plenty of time to watch the best people at the event play the game. Look how they set up. Definitely look at how they're placing asteroids. I'm guessing, you know, at the top cuts, you're not seeing many people just blindly throwing rocks down. They have a plan with those obstacles. Look at how they set up their opening ships. Definitely look at how they're setting up that opening engagement.
Yeah, there's a lot of factors to track. And I think there's a lot of things you can only learn from X-Wing by, you know, seeing great games of X-Wing and playing great games of X-Wing. And I wouldn't waste a minute when you're at one of these premier level tournaments, especially if you're newer to X-Wing or newer to the more competitive end of X-Wing. You're going to learn a lot just by watching the top players play games. And, you know, if you've already paid for the travel and the accommodations to go to one of these events, you know, might as well stick around to see how they close out, because you can actually learn a lot and then bring a lot of things back to your metagame that you learn from these premier, that you've learned from these big tournaments.
Absolutely. I mean, I think this is part of the value you get out of, you know, paying those more expensive entry fees and travel costs is, you know, there's going to be some experts of the game there, and you can get a front row seat and watch them play. And, you know, also people are traveling from all over, so there'll be different styles of play, different lists you'll see. You know, take it all in. There's a lot to be learned. And, you know, if there's something you don't quite understand why they did that, ask them after they finish their game. Well, that seemed kind of unusual. What were you thinking there? I think you'll find most players are pretty open to helping new players out, learn, pick up new tips.
Yeah, like we said before, we have a really great community here with the X-Wing community. And, you know, you're going to meet a lot of people who are going to be willing to help you out and improve your game. So those were our 11 premier tournament tips. Hopefully you guys learned something new today, even if you're a veteran X-Wing player, got some new perspective to go on.
Yeah, if you have a go-to X-Wing snack, let us know.
Yeah, and if you think we missed any important tips or you've got some important tips you'd like to share with the X-Wing community, throw that up on our Facebook or tweet at us at Radio TCX Podcast. Thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of Radio TCX. If you like the show, please go on to facebook.com/RadioTCX and join our Facebook page.
You can follow us on Twitter at Radio TCX Podcast.
And if you really enjoy the show, please go on to iTunes and leave us a 5-star review along with a comment saying what you like about the podcast and why others would be interested in listening.
If you want to support the show directly, please consider going on to patreon.com/RadioTCX and becoming a supporter of the show today. It really means so much to us. And thank you to all of our current patron supporters.
Again, guys, thank you so much for listening to this episode, and we will talk to you next week.